Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
They were places of last resort, built for those who had nowhere else to go. The old, the sick, the orphaned, and the destitute, forced behind high stone walls and iron gates. Here, life was stripped of dignity, families were torn apart, and poverty was punished like a crime. In today's episode, History Unpacked is exploring the story of the Victorian Workhouse, an institution born of moral panic, shaped by cold economics, and remembered as one of the darkest chapters in Britain's social history. If you enjoy the episode, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. To understand the workhouse, we have to go back, not to Queen Victoria's reign, but to centuries earlier. In 1601, during the rule of Elizabeth I, the Poor Law was enacted. It made individual parishes responsible for the care of their own poor, setting the precedent that the local community, not the state, should provide relief. Fast forward to the 18th century, and the Industrial Revolution is in full swing. Britain is growing richer, but the gap between rich and poor is growing wider. Cities swell with rural migrants, factories rise, and traditional forms of charity begin to strain. In 1834, the new Poor Law was passed by Parliament. It was a turning point. This law didn't just tweak the old system, it overturned it. Its core idea, that giving money to the poor outside of workhouses was encouraging idleness. From now on, anyone seeking help would be forced into the workhouse. And the workhouse was intentionally made to be unpleasant. This was by design. The architects believed that the only true desperate should seek help. And so the workhouse became a deterrent, not a sanctuary. Entering a workhouse was no simple matter. Applicants had to face the relieving officer, a stern gatekeeper who would assess whether they truly deserved aid. If accepted, individuals surrendered all freedoms. They were no longer citizens, but inmates. Clothing was exchanged for rough uniforms. Personal belongings were confiscated. Families were immediately separated, husbands from wives, children from parents. Even infants were placed in separate wards. Food was basic. Gruel, bread, and perhaps some cheese or weak tea. Meat was rare. The portions were small and designed only to keep people alive, not comfortable. The work was hard, repetitive, and often pointless. Breaking stones, picking oakum, scrubbing floors, tasks chosen for their monotony rather than any productive purpose. The idea was clear. If you wanted help, you had to suffer. Inmates rose early, lights out came early too, discipline was enforced by masters and matrons, often former military or factory supervisors. There was no room for dissent. And for those who disobeyed or rebelled, punishment was swift. Solitary confinement, withdrawal of rations, or forced labour. The stereotype of the workhouse inmate as lazy or morally corrupt was common in Victorian newspapers, and political speeches, but the reality was far more nuanced. Many were elderly, widowed, or disabled, people simply unable to earn a living in an unforgiving society. Others were children, orphans, or the offspring of parents who had died in epidemics, or been imprisoned, or simply couldn't cope. Women made up a large percentage too, especially single mothers. With no husband and no income, they had few options. Society offered little support, and the workhouse was often the only route left. And then there were the working poor. Laborers, servants, or factory hands injured on the job or thrown out during economic downturns. For them, the workhouse wasn't a failure of morality, it was a system that failed them. Despite being created as a moral corrective, the workhouse system quickly attracted criticism. Charles Dickens, in Oliver Twist, immortalized the cruelty of workhouse life when young. Oliver dared to ask for more food. The public was scandalized, and not just by fiction. Reports emerged of corruption amongst workhouse officials, malnourishment, overcrowding, and abuse. In some infamous cases, workhouse conditions led directly to deaths. The Andover scandal in 1845, in which inmates were caught gnawing on bones they were supposed to crush for fertilizer, shocked the nation. Investigations revealed that workhouse masters were embezzling food and funds. Parliament was forced to act. Gradual reforms followed. Inspections were increased. Some unions improved food and care. Medical provision was expanded, and by the late 19th century, the worst abuses had begun to fade, but the stigma remained. One of the most disturbing aspects of the system was the treatment of children. While some believed separating children from their parents was in the child's best interest, the results were mixed at best. Workhouse schools were supposed to provide education, but the quality was inconsistent. Some were little more than warehouses for unwanted children, where rote memorization replaced real learning and affection was in short supply. Children were often apprenticed out at a young age, sometimes as young as 8 or 9, to factories, farms, or households. Abuse was common, oversight minimal. Once sent out, many never returned. And for those who remained inside the workhouse, their childhood was shaped by institutional routines, regimented, cold, and often loveless. Though never intended as hospitals, many workhouses slowly became places of last resort for the sick and dying. With no other free healthcare available, poor people with serious illnesses ended up in the infirmary wing. Conditions varied wildly. Some larger workhouses employed trained nurses and doctors, but in many, the sick were left in overcrowded, unsanitary wards attended by untrained staff or even other inmates. Mental illness was particularly misunderstood. Those deemed lunatics were often locked away, restrained, or simply neglected. In time, the boundaries blurred. Some workhouse infirmaries eventually evolved into the early NHS hospitals, long after the original function of the workhouse had faded. To be sent to the workhouse was to lose one's social standing. The very word workhouse carried the weight of failure, shame, and despair. Many elderly people lived in fear of the day they'd be sent to the house. It was common for the poor to do everything they could, sell possessions, rely on family, even go hungry to avoid entering its walls. Even after the worst excesses were curbed, the stigma endured. For decades, the term workhouse evoked images of punishment, not protection. By the early 20th century, Britain's approach to poverty began to change. The rise of trade unions, socialist politics, and the slow expansion of state welfare chipped away at the old system. In 1929, the Local Government Act allowed workhouses to be taken over by local councils and renamed as public assistance institutions. But the final nail didn't come until 1948, with the foundation of the NHS and the full implementation of the welfare state. The workhouse system was officially abolished. Some workhouse buildings still exist. Many have been converted into flats, council offices or museums. A few remain hauntingly intact, row of bleak brick walls and iron gates, relics of another age. But the real legacy isn't bricks and mortar. It's the ongoing debate about poverty, responsibility and the role of the state, questions that haunted the Victorians still echo today. Should help come with strings? Must the poor be made to suffer to be believed? And how do we preserve dignity for those who fall through the cracks? For all our progress, these questions haven't gone away. The Victorian workhouse system was a product of its time, shaped by fear of poverty, belief in self-reliance, and the desire to control the labouring classes. While it provided basic shelter, it often stripped people of dignity, freedom, and hope. Its history is a reminder of what happens when policy forgets the people it's meant to serve, and why social welfare must always be paired with humanity.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,